The scripture reading before the lesson will be Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. That will be Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and the death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
And we just read a passage in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, which relates to the judgment. When God created us, He gave us free will, which means we are free to say and think whatever we want. We're free to obey Him or disobey Him as long as we are upon this earth. However, there is a day coming in which we will have to give an account for what we have said, the way we have acted, what we chose to believe, if we have rejected truth, or rejected evidence, we will have to give an account of all of those things, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things done in our bodies, whether it be good or evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Now it is tempting to think that on that day, standing in the presence of God, no one will be making up any excuses at that time. But the Bible indicates that there may be some who are giving it one last attempt. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." In other words, it's not those who simply claim to belong to Jesus. What is important is that they have lived in such a way that shows they have belonged to Jesus by doing His will. "But many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?'" Now think about that. Why, we had the power of the Holy Spirit and we cast out demons in the first century. We've been able to do many wonderful things in your name. We've prophesied even in your name. "And then I will declare unto you," unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity." Why? With all those wonderful things they had done? Because they were not obedient to what he said to do. Oh, they were probably obedient in some things, but they were not obedient in all things. And that's what is important to God. So some will try to be saved based upon their good deeds, things that they have done, things that they have accomplished. But notice how clear this passage is. Those things will not avail. Doing some good things does not compensate for obeying what Jesus said, obeying what God said. The newly elected Pope Francis disagrees with the Lord. He said, quote, recently, quote, "All of us have this commandment at heart, do good and do not do evil. All of us. But, someone might protest, this is not Catholic. He cannot do good. Yes, he can. The Lord has redeemed all of us, with the blood of Christ. Still quoting. All of us, not just Catholics. Everyone. And then somebody protests in this conversation he is having with himself. What about the atheists? And he replies, even the atheists, everyone, still quoting, we must meet one another doing good. But I don't believe, an atheist says, I'm an atheist. And his response is, still quoting, but do good. We will meet one another there. End of quote. No, we won't. Having done good works is not a substitute, Jesus says, for obeying God in all things. This is one of the most common misconceptions that most people have. Is that, well, if I just do some good, or if I do more good than evil, God will save me. No, that's not the criteria. The criteria, first of all, is, are you covered by the blood of Christ? Did you repent of your sins? And were you buried with Christ in baptism to have those sins washed away? The next thing is, did you do good or evil? And if you did evil, did you repent of it? You can't just live a life ignoring the Word of God and think that God is going to save you. No, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Well, here's another excuse from Matthew 25:25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 25. And I was afraid and sent and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Now, how's that for an excuse? You know, the other two men that received money went out and doubled what the Lord had given them, and they were rewarded. But this one says, well, I knew how strict you were. I knew how you were wanting to gather what you haven't sown and all of that. So, wow, I just took your money and went and hid it in the earth, and now I dug it up, and here it is. What you gave me, I gave it back to you. I guess he never considered that the same thing would have happened if he hadn't given him anything. If the Lord had just kept it, he'd have still had it. He gave it to him to do something with it, but he was too lazy. And didn't do anything. Laziness will not work. That excuse is not accepted. In fact, Jesus says to him in the following verses, but his Lord answered him and said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given. He will have an abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Excuses are not going to avail on the day of judgment. Jesus has already refuted one in Matthew 7. Now he refutes a second one here in Matthew 25. But there's more in Matthew 25. Let's take a look at verses 44 through 46. Then they also answered him and said, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So there is another illustration, this time trying to rationalize their lack of compassion. Well, if we had seen you, Lord, we would have helped. We would have ministered unto you, but we didn't see you. Now, Jesus was not there personally, but he was there represented by those who love and trust him, and they didn't help them. They simply didn't have a heart of compassion. So here are three illustrations of people offering up excuses, and you see how far each of them availed. There is another category, though, and that's Matthew 22, verses 11 through 13. Matthew 22, beginning with verse 11. Then the king shall come into the guest. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. He couldn't even think of an excuse. He was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So some people may try excuses, others may be speechless. But in either case, it will not do to meet the Lord unprepared. We must do his will. We must do all of his word if we are going to be pleasing and to receive an award. So we might hear some excuses on that day, but there are some things that will not be heard on the day of judgment. And we'd like to discuss five of those. Despite whatever excuse might be offered, there are some things that you will not hear. Number one, I am an atheist. It'd be a little foolish to try to say that in the presence of God, wouldn't it? With the free will that God has given us, we hear people say that now. However, it is not wise to do so. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God," Psalm 14:1. It is not wise to ignore the evidence that God has provided of his existence. The heaven declares the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork, Psalm 19:1. At the judgment, this world will no longer exist. There will be nowhere to hide. There will be nowhere to seek refuge. Being in the very presence of God would be impossible to deny. Let's notice a couple of things that John said in the vision that he had, Revelation 4, beginning with verse 2. Revelation 4, beginning with verse 2. "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 creatures, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." Standing there in that presence would be rather difficult to deny, wouldn't it? And so at that time, as Romans 14:11 says, every tongue shall confess to God. And that includes the formerly pride-filled, self-declared atheist. However, confessing to God at that time of his greatness, of his power, of his majesty, will not do anyone any good. The only confession that will do someone good is the one made here on earth. Everyone will make that confession, whether they have been godly or ungodly, good or evil, believers or unbelievers. So that confession will not do the atheist any good, not at that time. For God's righteous wrath will be poured out upon those who arrive there who know not God. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, 9. Because Jesus is going to descend in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God. Well, that will be a hard fate to endure, but it's the result of ignoring God now, not seriously looking at His Word, not seriously considering the evidence, and desiring to live one's life as he pleases instead of trying to please the one who gave him life. So that's one thing you will not hear on the Day of Judgment. You hear it now, but you won't hear it then. Number two, you will not hear anybody say, "I don't believe in Jesus," because he will be there with the Father. Men are free to reject and deny Jesus now, but all will be face to face with him in the judgment. And in fact, it is through Jesus that men will be judged. John 5 and verse 27. While we're in Revelation, let's look at chapter 5, verses 8 through 13. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Revelation 5, 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to your God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven, notice, every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." On the day of judgment, now this is a vision that John had, but on the day of judgment, with Jesus the Lamb being present, no one is going to say, "I don't believe in Jesus," because he will be there in front of them. They will see him. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. "And being found in appearance as a man," referring to Jesus, "he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." A confession, however, made at the time of the judgment will not do any good. It has to be done now to have any validity. Devout Jews will no longer deny that Jesus is the Messiah of the prophets. Muslims will be forced to admit that Jesus is more than a prophet, that he is in fact the Son of God, which they deny. Skeptics who, with an air of sophistication, questioned whether Jesus was even a historical figure will no longer doubt. Modernists who claim that he was only a good man, but not the Son of God, will also have to rethink very quickly their position. And these are some of those who went through the New Testament and rather arrogantly tried to decide, did Jesus say this or did he not say this? Well, they'll find out what he said on the day of judgment. He will be there, and they will see him just as the Bible claims that he is. Number three, there will not be anybody on the day of judgment who says, I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. People say that now. They make all kinds of comments, sometimes wisecracks, allege that the Bible was written by men. It wasn't. It was recorded by men. It was written down by men. But it is the Word of God. Nobody will be saying, I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. Millions believe it today to be the product of human literary evolution, which of course it is not. Many are willing to credit it and study it as outstanding literature while denying its claims of inspiration by God. But they will know that Jesus was right on that day. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And sure enough, on the day of judgment, heaven and earth will have passed away, but Jesus' word will be there. And in fact, they will see that word used as the standard of judgment, just as Jesus promised it would be in John 12:48. He who rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. They shall indeed know that the word did not pass away, and that it was, and it is our basis of judgment, just as Jesus promised. So there won't be anybody saying, I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. Number four, no one will be saying at that time, Christianity is not the only way to God. Now you hear people saying that now. That's what the modern mantra is of the politically correct, of the religious pluralists and universalists, because they want everyone to be held as equal. They want Muhammad's word to be equal with Jesus' word. Well, it isn't. And they will understand that, if not sooner, later on the day of judgment. They will not see Muhammad seated at the right hand of God. They will not find Buddha on the throne. They will not hear the voice of Confucius speaking to them. They will not observe some Wiccan high priest conducting a meeting with a coven. They will not see others seated on the throne except Jesus, the Lamb, with the Father. They will see Jesus. And they will know and understand the truth of what Jesus said when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. All of those who tried to go through one of those other people are going to know and realize they did not select the right person in which to place their confidence. Only Jesus can save. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. So that is a fourth thing that will not be heard at that time. And the fifth thing is, they will not hear anyone say, I regret that I obeyed the gospel and lived for Jesus. No one is going to say that. Everyone will be thrilled to be in his presence who has served him and who has loved him. Having so done is all that will matter at the judgment. Having loved God and kept his commandments, as suggested by Ecclesiastes 12:14, is what will avail in the judgment. It's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 7:21, doing the will of the Father. Jesus sent his disciples into the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who believes not shall be condemned." And all who are present will see the truth of that statement on that day. Only those who do the will of the Father will hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Matthew 25:21. Now is the time for people to confess. People will confess then, but it won't avail anything, because there won't be any other choice. You cannot deny the existence of God in the presence of God. You cannot deny the existence of Christ in the presence of Christ. You cannot deny the Word of God is the truth when you're in the presence of that Word being used to judge all mankind. You cannot possibly believe that every way was valid when those who followed other ways are lost. So now is the time to confess, because then a confession will occur, but it won't be worth anything in terms of changing one's life. But now, if we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, based on the evidence that the Bible provides for us to believe that, that will avail something. And it should cause us to want to repent of our sins and be buried with Christ in baptism, where his blood will wash away all of our sins. People are not going to get into heaven because they did some good things. They're going to enter into heaven because the blood of Christ washed away their sins and made them righteous and made them holy and made them capable of standing before God justified. 1 Corinthians 6:11. So are you prepared to make that confession today if you have never made it? We want to encourage you to do so, and then follow through by being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you have already made that confession, are you living faithfully to it? Because it is possible to become a child of God and then go astray. But don't let anything move you away from the gospel. If you need to respond, come while we stand and sing for your encouragement. I am